Scripture today is John 20, verses 19 to 21. Try to see this without my glasses here. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you."
The title of the message is Walking Tall, Standing Tall, Facing the Fears that Grip Your Soul. And I prattled around with this down at the beach a little bit, got a couple of erratic thoughts and got them together. Hopefully it'll be a message that ministers to you and where you are. In 1964, I was really calculating upstairs, that's 54 years ago. And I was in second grade. But anyway, in 1964, McNary County, Tennessee, was a very dangerous place to be. Illegal operations along the Tennessee and Mississippi state lines were so commonplace and reputed that the average Joe citizen was helpless and powerless, and the law enforcement officers and the politicians just turned a blind eye, looked the other way. There was one man, and some of you have probably heard of this man. His name was Buford Pusser. And Buford Pusser got tired of being the victim living in McNary County, Tennessee. And so he put his bid in to run for sheriff of the county, promising to bring back the long arm of the law. And he won by a narrow margin. His reputation as a take-no-excuses, take-no-guff lawman is legendary. The point of having a life of its own. His one-man crusade against gambling, against organized crime, against bootlegging and moonshining operations on the Tennessee border are just legendary. And the things that stories are made of. In fact, it inspired three movies in the 70s and a remake in the year 2000, I believe it was. Anyway, Pusser died 44 years ago after his third term as sheriff in a single car accident, which most people believe was no accident. He was described in the book as a man of, quote, raw courage who refused to let fear beat him. Raw courage. The movies show Pusser walking around with a great big club, beating sense in the thugs left and right. But his only child, Dwana, was interviewed and asked if her daddy, to her memory, really carried around a club. And she said, nah, that was the stuff of Hollywood. But nevertheless, he did possess a courage and he did possess a determination that many of the people that were hired to protect the little guy didn't have. Now, the fact that he was 6'6", 250 pounds, and an athletic build probably helped him. The fact that during his first tenure, his first term as sheriff, he was accosted on the street violently, stabbed multiple times, left him severely disfigured. It required 16 operations, facial operations, to get his head back on straight, you know, literally get his face together. And still he went back to work. Probably had something to do with his reputation. And the fact that in the three terms, his house was burned to the ground, his wife was shot, two of his deputies were killed, and he still continued to go after organized crime and bootlegging operations had something to do with his reputation. I don't quit. This is what he said in an interview, and I thought this was pretty pertinent. You see, I'm not lifting up Buford Pusser as a man to follow. Because in most respects, he was a brooding and violent man who fought violence with violence, and he died violently. But I read an interview, and there was a piece of that really spoke to me, and this at a time when we talk about terror. We're afraid, talk about terror. He said, I don't let fear get me down. When it gets you down, it keeps you down. I stand up and I fight it. I stand up and I fight it. Carl Burton, who was the senior pastor of the First Evangelical Free Church in Keokuk, Iowa, said in a sermon once, anxiety is the disease of our times. Because all of us are anxious about, afraid of something. And it affects us. Okay? Let's just be honest about that for a minute. We are all afraid of something, and some of those fears are irrational. I mean, there's no truth to them, but we're afraid. And hey, if you feel afraid, you're afraid. Doesn't matter if I tell you you don't have any reason to or not. Let me give you an example. We have a 31-year-old daughter. She'll be 32 in November. She's our baby. She is terrified of earthworms. Of earthworms. Things that can't chase you. Things that have no mouth. They don't bite you. They can't crawl up your leg. She's terrified of them. She always has been. And I know what you ladies are thinking. You're thinking that as a dad, I teased her and said, look at this. I didn't. You're thinking I took her fishing and made her put the worm on the hook. I didn't. But she has been all of her life, and it's gotten worse as she's become an adult, afraid of earthworms, to the point that when it rains and the parking lot, you know how parking lots get and worms come out into the parking lot, she's hard-pressed to go from her office to the car. She's almost paralyzed. Some fears are irrational. This was a random thought down at the beach, but I think it's true. Some fears are all too real. Brené Brown is an author, and I think, isn't she a psychologist? I think she is, and a well-known author. She's married to, and this is my point, a pediatrician. And as a pediatrician, this guy has worked at children's crying and identifying why children cry. He's absolutely, almost never wrong. When he hears a child crying, he can say why that child is crying. He can be out in Walmart and hear a kid crying and say, that child's hungry. And it is, or that child's tired, or that child needs to be changed, okay? They were watching the news footage of the children being separated from their parents at the border by immigration officials, and the kids were screaming and crying. And he looked at Brené and he said, that cry that you're hearing is not fear. That is a cry of sheer terror. And I'll come back to that in a minute. But fear isn't just kids' stuff, is it? And it's real. Now, I don't walk around with a club. And I don't have a baseball bat by my bed. And I don't need one. I'll tell you why. Because I have a 70-pound American bulldog with a big head and a big mouth. And very sharp teeth. And you'd be surprised at how well you sleep when you have one of those babies sleeping with you. Okay? But that's what I have. Some of you, and I don't know who, I mean, I'm not thinking of any individual. You probably have a home security system. I'm sure at least one person here does. You have triple locked doors. You have double locked windows. You have the phone by your bed. Or maybe you sleep with a light on, a night light on. Many of you sleep with your televisions on. Why is that? Because there's something about the dark. Just like there's something about hospitals. There's something about tests. There's something about workplaces and unpredictable bosses and about raising teenagers, for goodness sake. There's something about getting old. There's something about being young. There's something about the future. There's something about the past. There's something about nuclear missiles. That seems to put the fear in a lot of people. Terror. And Craig Burton says, how do you face these fears that grip your soul? How do you have the courage and determination to stand up? This is another erratic thought I had. You know, a child, and we have children here, they don't have the courage to stand up. They're defenseless. They cannot defend themselves. We adults, I believe, have been put on this earth by God to be trusted as their guardians and their defenders. It's biblical, particularly Christians. It is biblical. It just is. It always has been. And if we ever get to the point where we forget that, God help us. That we are champions of the little ones and the not-so-little ones. We just are. But how do you stand up and fight fear if the childlike fear is within you? Well, Ephesians 6, 10 to 13 says this. Paul says to the church, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. When I first wrote that down, I thought, boy, that sounds awfully churchy. Of course I'm going to say that. I'm a preacher. Just be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. But he says, Paul says, our problem, our fears are not against flesh and blood. Really? You could have surprised me. He said, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is against the powers of darkness, the powers of this world, the powers of evil, the spiritual forces in the spiritual realm of evil. Who is against us? And he says, Satan is against us. Okay? Satan is the cause for a lot of what we fear. But he says, when that happens, that's important. You're important to put on the full armor of God. So when the day of struggle comes, you're equipped. And by being equipped, you're able to stand. And if you're able to stand, you're able to keep standing through that struggle. And when the struggle is over, to have stood. Pusser said, when fear gets you down, it keeps you down, I stand up and I fight it. How do you face the fears that grip your soul? Well, you put on the full armor of God. And if you don't know what that is, the armor of God is the belt of truth. And the breastplate of righteousness. They used to wear a breastplate to keep spears and arrows from hitting their heart. The breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the shoes of peace, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. God has given us resources. God has given us equipment to deal with the things that go bump in the night. And they are truth, salvation, faith, righteousness, peace, and the sword of the Holy Spirit. When we equip ourselves with these things, we can stand up and fight. We can stand up, and we can do it peaceably, not violently. The one thing, and I didn't say this in the first sermon, the one thing that you all know this probably, but the armor of God, there is only one offensive weapon, and that's the Holy Spirit, which is the word of the Lord. You arm yourself with the word of the Lord, you've armed yourself with something powerful. So one of the ways that we can stand up and resist these forces of evil is to fully equip ourselves with the armor of God. But what if that's not enough? There's a second way in Scripture, and that is to be in the presence of Jesus Christ, who brings the peace of God that passes all understanding. The Scripture that Liz read is about 11 guys who really were at the end of their rope. And they were depressed and they were scared silly. They were scared because Jesus had been crucified and died. And they were scared on Friday. They were scared on Thursday. They were scared on Saturday. They were even scared on Sunday because they didn't know about this resurrection business. And I love how the Scripture makes the story take place in the dark. Isn't it true how things get stronger in the dark? Have you ever lain awake at night? Lain in your bed? And mulled something over in your mind, and it's nighttime and you can't get to sleep, and the more you think about it, the bigger it gets. Because the darkness does that. And here these guys are behind locked doors and it's in the dark, and they're afraid of a couple of things. They're afraid somebody's going to find them. They're afraid that when they find them, they're going to be arrested. They're afraid when they're arrested, they're going to be tried, and they're afraid they're going to be crucified. And so they're in behind locked doors, and believe me, they're sleeping fitfully. When all of a sudden, Jesus stands in their midst and he says something to them, listen, that we need to take heart today if we would listen. And what Jesus said, it's so simple. It is so stupidly simple. Peace be with you. Do you know how many times in a year I say that as a benediction? Peace be with you. And I was down there at our beach house that we rent, and I thought, okay, I mean, what does that mean? We say it so often, it's almost benign. So I looked it up in the Greek, which gets a lot longer when you do a word study, but it doesn't matter. What it means is, what Jesus is saying to us is rest, be still. Now here it comes. In the midst of something that's bigger than you are. It's not just rest and be still. It's peace be with you in the presence, in the midst of something that's larger than you are. And that made me think of a story. Here I am down at the beach. And every afternoon, well, every morning about 11:30, we go down to the beach and we stay till 4 o'clock and we read books and things, but we spend a lot of time just looking at the water. And I remember being told a story of a woman who had great anxiety. She just had huge anxiety. She's so nervous and scared. And she knew she had to do something about it, so she made an appointment with her doctor, and she went in and she said, "I just have anxiety, and I don't know what to do about it." "Well, what are you anxious about?" So she shared. And he said, "I'll tell you what I want you to do. Do you have vacation time coming?" She said, "Yes." He said, "I want you to go to the seashore. And for 5 days, I want you to set up a chair along the beach and do nothing but look at the water. Just look at the water." She said, "Do you think that'll help my anxiety?" He said, "I think you need to see something bigger than you are." Don't we all? Jesus came in the midst of them and he said, "Peace, be still." And seeing the resurrected Christ for the first time, they saw something bigger than they were. Paul said, "Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power." Does that mean throwing open the door, taking off the locks, turning on the lights, looking the enemy in the face and saying, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus"? Well, sometimes that's exactly what you have to do. That's exactly what you have to do. But most of the time, praise God, Jesus meets us and comes to us when we let him in and brings to us something that is a lot bigger than we are. And in that, we have our peace. There's a guy whose name is, Douglas Bailey, ordained pastor in the UCC church. He says, you know, in that day, there was no way the disciples were going to pull themselves up by the bootstraps. There is no way the disciples were going to go out and face the world on their own. It's only because of the resurrected Christ coming in their midst, the victory that he brought and the peace that he gives that enabled them to stand up and be counted in ministry. And that means if you're slow of heart to believe, if you're short on faith and you're long on doubt, if you're shirking your responsibilities, or I like this one, if the courage in you, no, if the cowardice in you has the courage in you by the throat. I like that. The coward in you has the brave guy in you by the throat. Jesus is bigger than what you fear. It really is that simple, and he has the final say. He delivers the final word. So you have the opportunity of putting on the full opportunity of God or standing in the peace of God that passes all understanding. Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. What shall I fear? The Lord, he's the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Listen to this part. "Though an army may encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war may rise against me, I will be confident." And I wrote that down and I thought, boy, we've heard a lot about that. "I will be confident. In the time of trouble, God will put me in his tent and set me on a high rock. I will wait for the Lord. Be of courage, because he will strengthen your heart." And you know, if when fear comes along, you don't quit, and if you stand up and you fight it, like Buford Pusser said, then an amazing thing happens. And what happens is you have the courage to stand along somebody who doesn't have the courage and be their defender and their champion until they can stand on solid ground. That's a ministry to think about. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for delivering this sermon for me. I appreciate it. Thank you for helping me to put something together for today. I think more than that, there's probably a person here, and I don't know who that would be, but there's probably somebody that said, well, thank God I don't have anything that I'm afraid of. Nothing scares me, and that's great. But there's probably other people here today who are thinking to themselves, I really need to see something that's bigger than I am. Because I think Liz said it up in the Sunday school class, we just have so much anxiety. And the key word, Lord, that we hear is terror, terror, terror. That should not be our focus. Courage, faith, hope, conviction, trust, obedience should be our witness. Lord, you don't beat us up. You don't castigate us or unwelcome us when we are afraid. But I do know this, you will bring light to our darkness and you will knock on the door. And Revelation 3:20, I think it is, says that if you knock on that door and we receive you, you will come. And when you come, there's something bigger than you are, than we are. Thank you for that promise, Lord, and thank you for leading us in worship today. I just want to pray again. We're delighted to have Bob and Rhonda to be here with us and to see old friends. And help us to be a congregation, a church body of courageous folk. Whatever that means and whatever that looks like, that'll be my prayer in these coming months. I pray these things in your name. Amen.